Hello, and welcome to Candidates Corner. I'm Lori Sanborn. I'm one of your state representatives here in Bedford. And we have this distinct pleasure to be able to interview the candidates for political office. Those are the people who want to run and serve you in Concord, New Hampshire. And today I have a very special guest, the Honorable Phil Griazzo. Phil, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for agreeing to interview me, Lori.
Absolutely. This is such a pleasure because you and I have served together in the House.
We have.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your background politically. You've done lots of different roles in the state.
Yeah, I was an alderman in the city of Manchester for four years, and a state representative in Concord for West Manchester, which is Ward 10, 11, and 12, which abuts Bedford. So I'm very familiar with the area.
Yes. So now tell me, so now you're in Bedford, though. You're running to represent the people of Bedford. Is that correct?
I am, yes.
Okay. Tell us about what is this district, what is the landscape looking like for this election?
Well, it's obviously much better than Manchester. One of the reasons I had left was the tax structure. I couldn't give them another dime. And I vote with my wallet. I do what I say, and I follow through on that. And one of the things that I had always mentioned being involved in politics in Manchester was if you can't control the tax rate, you're not going to keep people here, and I'll be one of them. And I moved. And this was actually one of the places I didn't really consider because I thought it would be too expensive, but I found a nice fixer-upper. And my taxes are actually quite a bit lower than they are in Manchester, and I'm very happy to be here.
That's excellent. Well, Bedford's a wonderful community, so welcome. Thanks for coming here.
Thank you.
It wasn't too far of a change, though, for
no,
you.
No, it's really just down the street. I mean, I would come over here to the Market Basket to go grocery shopping because it's closer than any other. So yep. It's actually along my path that I'd taken previously and happened to find a house.
That's great. So tell me, how long have you lived in New Hampshire? Are you from this area originally?
No, I was born in Arizona. I joined the Army out of high school, came back to Arizona for a few years, worked on a few family businesses, eventually moved to California. I got married. I moved to New Hampshire about 17 years ago, started working for Hewlett-Packard.
Excellent.
Then I worked for Texas Instruments and Merrimack. Eventually, after 9/11, all the tech sector jobs kind of reduced. They reduced inventory. They reduced workforce. From that point on, I became self-employed. So I've been working at my own businesses ever since.
Oh, good. Well, tell us about that. What kind of business do you have?
At first, I bought some real estate. I got involved in that. I started a few companies with my brother doing property maintenance, asphalt maintenance, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I just been doing whatever I could to, you know, be an entrepreneur, to sort of sustain myself. And that's sort of what most of my family has done. Most of my family has their own businesses. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just something that comes natural.
Right, and you've done the big corporate experience. You've worked in big companies, and now you're running your own.
I like the tech sector. I like to be contributing to society, you know, making something that's beneficial mm-hmm. to mankind rather than destructive to it. So I liked what I did at Hewlett-Packard. We made 3D imaging software and machines for baby monitoring and ultrasound equipment. And Texas Instruments, we made computer chips for cell phones and things like that. And
so why did you choose New Hampshire originally? Was it because of the great jobs, or was it some other factors that brought you here?
Actually, it was my wife. She wanted to come and work at Hewlett-Packard and live in New England. And I said, okay, that's one of the places I haven't lived. Let's go. And here I am.
How different is it from Arizona?
It's quite a bit different. I'm so happy to be here. You have seasons. You have change of temperature, scenery.
Sometimes we like that. Sometimes we don't.
Well, Arizona is nice. I mean, it's where I was born and raised, but it's dry. It's hot, and it doesn't change much. At Christmas time, you're wearing shorts. So I like to be able to go out into the snow.
That's great. Well, we're thrilled that you're here in Bedford and that you've decided to run and serve people. When you were in the House before, did you serve on a particular committee?
I served on the Criminal Justice Committee.
Okay.
I was part of the leadership team of the majority. Worked on, whatever legislation was good for the folks of New Hampshire. We had an $11 million decrease in the budget that year. And we worked on things for personal liberty and just items like that, just reducing the scope of government in your life.
Excellent. Now, did you sponsor any bills yourself, or that was your first year, so maybe not?
I sponsored two bills. One was to eliminate municipal liabilities for dog bites. It was an old law. If my dog bit you and I couldn't pay you, you could technically sue the town. And that was one of the obstacles that we had to overcome when I was trying to build a dog park in the city of Manchester. They kept coming up with objection after objection, and that was one of them. So as a state legislator, I sponsored that. The other one that I sponsored was it wasn't to repeal the death penalty. It was to make it a fair law that if somebody killed your wife or your husband and they're not a law enforcement officer or the governor, those are the only two people under the New Hampshire law where you could get the death penalty, mm-hmm. was not fair for anyone else. So if somebody came to your house or somewhere else in Bedford, and we know that it's happened in Bedford, and murdered you, the murderer wouldn't face the death penalty. I didn't think that that was fair. We operate under the auspice of equal protection under the law, and so my thought on that was either make it equal for everyone or eliminate it. And we didn't really do anything with it. It was more of a thought-provoking mm-hmm. bill.
And, well, you know, and that happens
a
lot.
It was tabled at the end. So it was interesting to see the discussion and which way people would take it. It was very interesting to see that that those on the left wanted to abolish the death penalty, but they're in favor of, you know, any form of abortion. So I thought that was interesting to see that they're interested in killing the innocent but not interested in killing the guilty, which is sort of a odd dichotomy for me to wrap my brain around. But I think a lot that brought up was equal protection under the law. And if you're not going to apply the laws equally, then the system really doesn't work for you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a fairness issue for you.
It's really a fairness issue. And I like to follow the Constitution. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I did as a state representative was call attention to paid advocates in the House. The Democratic floor leader was a paid party operative who happened to be an elected official. Under the state constitution, that's a huge conflict of interest. So you, as a restaurant owner, you have a business, and it takes you away from the state house. You have to actually sacrifice your time and energy away from your business, away from your family, to go to Concord and serve, because we have a citizen legislature. Folks in those positions, and this is what they put in the Constitution when they were drafting it, and it applied to lawyers at the time, but the same sentiment applies to other jobs, other sectors of society. So if you're a paid political individual, your job is basically to be at the state house all day. And if you're paid by somebody to be there, you now have a conflict. Mm-hmm. You're not distracted. You're not being pulled away from the state house. You're actually paid to be there all day and to do whatever you can for whoever's paying you. And the New Hampshire Constitution doesn't allow for that.
So what happened with that bill? Do you remember? Was it a bill or how did...
It was a complaint. And the complaint went through, one of the constitutional committees, mm-hmm. and they reviewed it, and they weren't ever able to make a determination solid one way or the other. So they just sort of said, well, it's not really interpretable for modern times. It more applied to lawyers in the drafting of the Constitution for New Hampshire, and I disagree with it. But you know, that's what happens when you have folks that don't necessarily follow the Constitution or the rules and the laws, and they point to, well, the language back then, you have to look at what they were talking about when they drafted it. And what they were talking about when they drafted it were people that were paid to be in the legislature shouldn't be there because it's a citizen legislature, and it's why you only get $100 a year. Back then it was considerably more money to them, but now we've adopted that and we live by that you're there as a volunteer. It doesn't pay for the gas.
Right.
But you're a volunteer. So if you're paid by any organization to specifically be their political insider, that's a violation of the New Hampshire Constitution and you shouldn't be serving. And the House decided that even if they did follow through on expelling the member, there's nothing to prevent that person from running again and getting the same seat, which I agree, but it still doesn't mean that you shouldn't follow through on what the Constitution says.
Well, it sounds like you got really actively involved when you were in the legislature last time.
I think that that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to go there and you're supposed to do what you can to reduce the size of government, to reduce their spending, to make sure that they're responsive to the people that are paying the bills, mm-hmm. to be accountable, to give you value for your dollar. Those are just basic things that I think that most people agree with. But once you translate that into a body of 400 people trying to pull an issue in one way or another, it sometimes gets lost.
You're listening to Republican candidate for State Representative Phil Griotto on Candidate's Corner on Bedford 105.1.
No, so you, in addition to helping out the state, being a representative, you also did quite a bit of work as an alderman, right, in Manchester. So tell me about that, because you really know, boots on the ground, what it's like to also have to try to run a town, right?
It's very difficult, and I was a state legislature and an alderman at the same time. So my day was spent volunteering on both ends,
yeah.
Literally, and being a small business owner, that gives me the opportunity to be able to do that. To be able to sacrifice my time. As long as you have somebody else taking care of business for you, then you're able to do that. But as an alderman in the city of Manchester, I was on lands and buildings, I was on the Committee on Administration, I was the vice chair for finance for the city. Everything that I did was focused on making sure that the taxpayers got value for their dollar, that they didn't have more money taken from them arbitrarily to spend on any ridiculous thing that the rest of the board thought was in their best interest, not the best interest of the Manchester taxpayer. And every budget that came up for a vote, I unfortunately had to vote against, except for one, and that one was a tax cut, because the city of Manchester spends money like it's water.
Yeah, we tend to be really responsible with folks' dollars here in Bedford.
That's another thing that I identify with the folks in this town. We're like-minded in the fact that if I'm going to give you my money or you're going to take my money in the auspice of taxes, that you're going to use it responsibly and not just spend it on any feel-good thing and then you don't have any money left and you have to keep borrowing money. The city of Manchester bonds so much money. There was even a story in the Union Leader today about the taxes going up in Manchester again, even though the alderman said that, well, it's not going to because values are going to go up, so your tax rate will actually go down. Who believes that? And they had to override the tax cap. And that was another thing that I fought for in the city of Manchester, was capping their spending. Their taxation is tied to their spending. One of the things that the alderman had done at one point was tied it to the consumer price index, blended 3 years. They did whatever they could to dilute it. And then they took out the enterprise departments like the airport and other things. So they basically just watered it down to a point where they could still do whatever they want, and the tax cap was really ineffectual. And now, since they have a majority that's willing to override the tax cap, they keep doing that. And, you know, the people of Manchester keep voting for the folks that are into that, and I'm not. So I vote with my wallet. I stand by my convictions, and I cannot give them another dime.
Which brings you why you're here today. So you're decided to run for office for the town of Bedford. Why do you want to serve again? Is there anything in particular you'd like to accomplish if you get back into the House?
I want to go back to making sure that the state of New Hampshire spends responsibly. I would love to bring in another budget that's $11 million less than the budget of whatever year. You know, however many millions of dollars we can reduce the tax budget is a focus of mine. That's always the first thing, right? You always want to reduce the amount of involvement government has in your life. You want to reduce the amount of money the government takes from your business. I want to attract business. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I like about New Hampshire is obviously the tax-free status, but that's for the individual. On the business side, they get two taxes, the business enterprise tax and the business profit
Only
tax.
Only two?
well, they have more, but it's in other, you know, other ways through other departments. Another thing that bothers me is the I-93 expansion. When we were in the legislature approved adding a lane. If anybody's driven up and down I-93, they see that they've replaced the whole corridor, either by moving the road over temporarily, ripping up what's currently there, replacing it, and then eliminating the road that they put that was temporary. Well, how about if the temporary road became the road and you only built the road once? So they've built the road twice. In some sections, they haven't added. So one of the things I would like to see is the Department of Transportation director held accountable. They're almost twice the budget of what they were allotted, and the project's still not done 5 years later. And I can understand that. It takes quite a while to do what they've been doing, but they would have been done and wouldn't have had nearly the amount of overspending or construction if they had just added that extra lane like they were directed to. But unfortunately, in a legislature setting, sometimes they let the department set their rules and become autonomous, and that's where you wind up with, you know, the administrative rules of a department that basically become law, where they're able to get those extra fines and fees which become the added business taxes, which makes it more difficult for everyone else. Healthcare, everyone still has an issue with healthcare. That one never goes away. One of the reasons that we have an issue with it in New Hampshire was because there's only really two
insurance carriers,
right, because the rest were driven out of the state. So competition lowers prices. If we don't have competition, we're going to continue to be held by either or, and that's not good for anyone. So
yeah, I think we have some of the highest health insurance costs in the nation at this point.
Yeah, electricity rates are another issue. There's got to be ways to bring in more competition, and you can't do that when the higher levels of government make their little inside deals and, you know, work behind the scenes to kind of position themselves in what they want instead of what the citizens want, and we're the ones that pay the bills. So that's the reason I like to become involved in politics, not because I like it, because I'm not a politician. I'm like one of your neighbors. If you want to borrow a mower, you need help moving something, let me know.
So this isn't a career for you, political stuff?
Well, obviously, it's not a career. It pays $100 a year. Right. It actually costs you money to be involved in it. But I would rather spend my money on that end, being involved in it, making sure that it's done right or it's responsive and, you know, respectful of the folks that pay the bills, rather than for my own personal gain. Whatever my beliefs are, aren't justified if they're not what the beliefs of the town are. Mm-hmm. You have to do what the town is. And if your beliefs don't justify the same thoughts that they want, then you can't follow what you want to do. You have to follow what the town wants to do.
Because this is a job of service, right?
It is a service job.
And representation, that is the job title.
That's it, representative. Right. You're representative of the folks that elect you. And if you look at so many of the other folks in politics, they pretend to be your representative until they get elected, and then they do whatever they want. And then you argue against it, or you're complaining against their policies, and at election time you have to hope that they can move along.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, just around election time, they start to pander and change a little and try to convince you that, no, they've been doing good, and then they, you know, get reelected or not. But
so have you started to talk to any Bedford voters about what's important to them?
Yeah.
And what are you hearing out there for issues that are a concern?
Well, obviously the taxes, personal freedom, you know, government overreach, the typical things in government. Those are always going to be there. Folks always want to make sure that the government that represents them or, you know, creates laws for them is responsible, that they do it in a proper manner, that they're not becoming overburdensome. It's the same thing. And that's really what politics has become, is you have to try to stand firm on the things that the people that you're representing want and not give in because, well, this will be good for this or this will be good for that. It has to be what the people expect. And if you're just arbitrarily doing things like a rail, you know, rail would be great if private business built it. But for the state to fund it and then take more money from the taxpayers to be able to make sure that they can have a train that connects to Boston, well, who did they do it for? They didn't do it for the people because the people obviously don't want to pay more money. Otherwise, they would be clamoring that we want a train. I don't really hear the clamoring of wanting the train.
You're listening to Republican candidate for State Representative Phil Griazzo on Candidate's Corner on Bedford 105.1.
Yeah. The question is, will that bring people from here down to Boston, or will that bring people from Boston up here?
It'll bring Boston people. It'll bring Massachusetts people to New Hampshire, let's be honest, because they'll want to live here and they'll want to work in Massachusetts because we don't have the same, you know, job settings that they do. Well, how about if we just attract the same sort of environment for workers?
To have more jobs here?
To have more jobs here.
Sounds,
you know, every
good.
Time I see in the paper that a business closed and is moving their plant, I contact them. When I was an alderman in the city of Manchester, anytime I saw anybody in the state that was thinking of moving, I would try to attract them to Manchester. Anybody in the country that was moving from one place to another because they either felt that they were being unduly taxed or regulated and they wanted to move to a more conducive environment, I would always try to invite them to New Hampshire. And unless we do that, our job market is just going to continue to stay as it is and become even flatter. We need to attract the things that want to, you know, that folks want to be involved in, that will help retain the young folks in the state. You know, we always hear that the young people, they graduate and then they leave because there's nothing keeping them here. There's very few companies that really inspire that sort of drive to get involved with the company. You know, Dean Kamen's got a good company for technology. There's a few other companies that are, you know, inspiring that people want to be involved in and actually create things. And we need to find more ways to keep the youth of the state in the state to be able to do that, and giving them the ability to create those companies, not just work for them. That's, I think, something that we're lacking. We need to be able to find ways for them. And New Hampshire has a lot of entrepreneurs, let's be honest. A lot of people have small businesses in New Hampshire, which makes it very important to be able to reduce the burdens on small businesses. So as a small business owner, and as a small business owner, we understand that.
The red tape, the regulation, the cost.
Exactly. Yeah. So to find young folks in the state that, you know, get involved with Dyne and the other companies, you know, there's Texas Instruments in the Mill Yard in Manchester. There's other tech companies around the state, but they're not in a strong enough position to where they can retain the young people or keep them interested or give them the opportunities to create their own businesses to inspire that next great idea. You know, we should be, for all intents and purposes, the Silicon Valley of New England.
I like it.
But that happens to fall mainly to Massachusetts because of their size and their infrastructure as far as, you know, the businesses that they've created over, you know, the years.
Mm-hmm. The clusters. They have clusters of technology.
Right. Let's be honest. Yep. They have, you know, larger cities. So they have, you know, more businesses that are interested to move there because of the population that they can sell to or attract as a workforce. We need to be able to move those folks up here business-wise. Mm-hmm. If you make a train, the people will move here. They'll buy houses and they'll commute to Massachusetts on the train. And then they'll turn this into northern Massachusetts more than it already is.
Now, so when you're looking ahead to the House, you're thinking about serving again. In the past, you served on the committee called Criminal Justice.
Criminal Justice and Public Safety.
Are you open? Do you want to do that again? Or are you open to what committee assignment you get? What are your thoughts?
I'm open. I like to participate in any level that needs help, right? So if the folks in the town of Bedford vote for me and send me to the State House, I'm more than happy to work on anything that they wish to be worked on. That's the job of representative. I don't have my own ideas that I want to go and I want to do this. I want to go and represent the town of Bedford and make sure that they get their fair hearing up in Concord, that their voice is heard, that the things that they want to do, they're able to do, and that they're not totally controlled by the state, that they can't do them. I like Article 10. I like being able to let the towns have local control, and that's really what you have to do, is you have to stand firm on those things and make sure that the town can do what it wants.
You know, it's interesting. So we had a state representative, Ken Peterson, who was serving in the House. He served in the Municipal and County Government Committee.
Okay.
He's decided not to run again. So that might be an area where you could bring some of your expertise.
Sure.
Which would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the town, being the size that it is, has to compete with all the other towns, obviously. And if you don't have strong advocates for you up at the State House, you're left out. You know, we're not paying attention to you because your guys are just ineffectual. So, you know, I think that we've got a good number of representatives there currently, yourself, Senator Sanborn. We have other liberty, freedom, smaller government-minded representatives that are strong advocates for the town to make sure that the town gets the resources that it sends to Concord back in the town, and the town can do what it needs to do without so much state interference that it can't do it.
So tell me about the lay of the land for this election for you. So we have a primary on September 13th,
yes.
I believe. You have a number of people running for the same seat that you're running for. Tell me about how that looks for you and how you might characterize yourself different from some of the other candidates.
Well, some of the other candidates don't have as good of a record as I do. I don't negatively campaign, so I'm not going to send out, you know, nasty little mailers like people do. There's plenty of organizations that'll do that, and I don't condone it. I have a record. I've been a state representative, and I've been an alderman.
You say record, your voting record.
I have a voting record.
What you've done in the job.
I have a voting record, yes.
Not a criminal record.
No.
I'm just kidding. No. Just to make sure for the voters.
Well, I would think that was inferred since we're talking about politics. I have a political voting record.
Perfect.
As a state representative, you can look up at the NewHampshire.gov website to see previous votes. Anything that came up, you have to vote on. It's recorded. I have that. as an
alderman. So people can find out where you really stand on the issues, not just in what you say on the campaign trail, but what how you actually voted when you were in office.
Right, right. So I don't say things just to sound good. I say things that I've done or that I stand by. My voting record stands for itself. Mm-hmm. I've voted for all the things that I think and all the things that I've said already. Mm-hmm. So you can look that up. Mine is, I believe, better than most in this race. I have got 90 percentile ratings for several organizations, the HRA, the NHLA. I've got an A-plus rating for the gun owners groups, the Right to Life. I'm fairly good on that also. I'm probably better than, I wouldn't say probably, I know that I'm better than most. And the city of Manchester, the same. You can look at the things that I voted for or against. And I voted against most of the spending that they currently come up with, unless they had a way to raise the funds responsibly or to shift priorities in the budget, because it's about priorities. You have a certain amount of money for the state. You have a certain amount of money for your town. And depending on where you spend it is really how successful or unsuccessful you will be. And I like to make sure that the things that we need get paid for and get the attention, and the things that we want, we'll figure out how we can try to get there. But if we can't get there, it's not something that we needed.
Now, Phil, we're running out of time. So is there a place, do you have a website or any way that people can connect with you? Are you on Facebook? How do people connect with you?
I'm on Facebook, but I don't use it politically. Okay. I don't really get too much involved in the social media things of it. I like personal contact. So anybody that wants to call me, my cell phone number is 669-0494.
Excellent.
I live at 461 Donald Street. Feel free to stop by, knock on my door.
Borrow your mowing, lawnmower.
I have a push lawnmower. You want to borrow it? It came with the house. It's pretty old, but it still runs. So I use it, because why buy a lawnmower if you don't need one? So yeah, folks can call me 669-0494. I'll be still out knocking on doors. If I haven't gotten to your door, feel free to call me and I'll stop by.
Great. Well, we have a few minutes left. So, Phil, you're going to have a moment to be able to speak to the voters and tell them why they should vote for you in this coming election.
Well, like I said, I have a pretty good voting record. I stand by the things that I say that I'm going to do. I go to Concord to represent the folks in the town, not to represent my own interests. I'm a small business owner, so I know how that works. I'm a neighbor. I'm not a politician. I know that government gets a little carried away sometimes. We have 400 people in the legislature, all sponsoring multiple bills. If you think about that, that's multiple laws per person that's in the legislature. My philosophy is, let's look at the laws that are currently there and reduce the amount of burdensome regulations that are no longer applicable, that are no longer necessary, creating new laws every year without sort of reviewing the past, I think is a mistake. You have laws then on the books, like the municipal dog bite bill from the 1800s, that still exist. And if people want to start applying those, they can. But for the most part, they're lost, and they should be removed. I believe in fiscal responsibility. I believe in personal liberty. I believe that life is important. I believe that you should be able to protect yourself. I believe that the city, the town, the state, they all need to operate responsibly, and it's your money that's paying for it. If they're not operating responsibly with your money, you're not getting value. You're having your money taken from you and spent on things that shouldn't be spent on. They spend a lot of money on things that they want rather than what they need, and then they need more money to spend it on the things that they need because they spent it on the things that they want. I basically just work for fiscal responsibility. I make sure government is held accountable and that you get value for your tax dollar. So that's why I'm running, and I see that it's something that needs to be done in the state. When I was legislature prior, we worked to reduce the budget, we worked to reduce regulations and fees, and that's something that I would continue to do if I was sent back to Concord. So I ask for your vote on September 13th, and if you have any questions, feel free to give me a call. My cell phone number is 669-0494.
Well, and again, thank you so much for tuning into Candidates Corner. You've just heard from Phil Griazzo, who is running to be your state representative in Concord, and we appreciate the time to be with you today. I'm Lori Sanborn. We'll see you out there. Take care.